furlough civilian employees up to 22 working days over 6 months. 15,000 air traffic controllers laid off for more than 2 weeks, the equivalent of 5,000 fewer Border Patrol agents and 1,000 fewer FBI agents. Those are some of the consequences of sequestration that members of the Senate Appropriations Committee heard from administration leaders today. Democratic Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, the chair of the Appropriations Committee, tried to nail down exactly what will happen on March 1st.
It is now midnight. The clock has moved, and there it is. Can you paint for me the picture of how sequester is triggered? In other words, do all the lights go out in federal buildings? Do furloughs trigger? So we tell the NIH researcher, the welder at the shipyard, the person managing the weather satellite, the Border Patrol guard, don't show up every Monday now until Congress acts. Could you paint for me, literally, what happens when the phrase sequester is triggered on March 1st? What will that look like?
What it'll look like, and it'll be multidimensional in its negative impacts. First, you'll see intense bargaining going on with unions, getting ready to issue furlough notices for hundreds of thousands of employees across the federal government.
So that's not going on now?
That is going on now, but as we go across into this takes time, and that's what the world will. And once we get into an area where the sequestration order is issued, now it's real and it's serious. I'm not saying it's not real and serious now, but then it becomes law. And that's an important symbolic moment. Federal contractors will receive word of how their contracts will be impacted, whether terminated, whether modified. They'll start getting an understanding of where our agencies won't be investing in contracts. States and locals, governors, will be digesting information about how their financial footprint will be impacted, how it's going to impact their ability to sustain their government operations in areas like transportation or education and health and other areas. The list goes on and on. The reality is that agencies are going, because we're in a seven-month time frame, agencies are going to have to move quickly to meet this budget cut. And we are doing the preparatory steps right now to get ready. But once March 1st hits and those funds are canceled, everything that we're doing in preparation right now becomes even more real and creates that much more uncertainty, that much more harm.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But is it then, like the first month, the issuing of notices to people?
You'll see a combination.
The lights go out, people are told you're furloughed. The word triggers sequester.
It's complicated. There are some elements of government operations that will feel the more immediate impact. So, for example, because of furloughs, we talked about the meatpacking element. Now, do the furloughs are going to occur on March 1st? No, it's going to take some time due to legal requirements. So what the world looks like on March 1st is very intense pre-staging actions that are taking place that are sending out notices and warnings and all kinds of different elements of how the sequester is going to play out. Some of that's going to occur before March 1st, but it's different from a government shutdown. Government shutdown means that effective at midnight, you can no longer incur any more obligations, and things do actually shut down.
So, and that's scheduled to happen March 27th.
If there's not an appropriations bill, yes. But I think with the final moments, let me just emphasize this point. I do not think it would be prudent at all to assume that because the lights don't shut out across the government on March 1st, that we can go across that precipice and then pull back later, because even as, we've had analogies here of the wolf being outside the door, the wolf being in the room. The reality is, I think it becomes extraordinarily problematic and serious, some of these economic consequences, once we hit March 1st, because then it's real, and then a lot of these things come to fruition in a much more exponential way.
That's OMB Controller Danny Werfel before the Senate Appropriations Committee today, emphasizing possible furloughs of hundreds of thousands of federal civilian workers won't happen all at once if sequestration triggered. They would be phased in.
There's legal requirements for notice that I think Deputy Secretary Carter mentioned. We have what we'll see is agencies will start doing a couple of key things. First, furloughing is something that is subject to bargaining. So work is ongoing and will intensify as we approach sequester with union representation to make sure that the manner in which the furloughs are implemented are fair and equitable and et cetera. And so that's a very important process that will happen. Next, there will be a notice period. And as a general matter, those notice periods are different depending on agency and collective bargaining agreement. But I think you can use 30 days as a general matter. So what we'll start seeing after March 1st is the intensification and completion of that bargaining with unions where appropriate. And then notices will start to be issued. I think the Defense Department mentioned early April as to when that's going to be triggered. So the furloughs themselves will probably happen along a continuum, not exactly on March 1st, but there will be impacts on March 1st, including employee uncertainty, but also spending reductions as well.
OMB Comptroller Danny Werfel before the Senate Appropriations Committee. Another member of that committee, Senator Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire, asked him how much the planning for sequestration has cost agencies.
Mr. Werfel, one of the things that I think we have not talked about is the costs of what we're doing right now in terms of the sequester. And I wonder if you could give us any kind of an estimate on what it's costing us to try and plan for the sequester, and if it goes into effect, what some of those costs might be.
Well, thank you for the question. I don't have a specific cost estimate. I can tell you that taking a lot of the central coordinating role across government in planning for sequester. I have a sense of the impact that it's having at many agencies, and my colleagues on the panel can certainly speak to it. It is enormously disruptive to agency operations. You hear stories of people pulled into meetings from doing the day-to-day mission-critical work that they're supposed to be doing to be pulled into a meeting to discuss how to plan for this contingency, which was never meant to occur, and at the end of the day, our planning is going to fall short of mitigating its many harmful impacts.
Well, let me ask you, Secretary Carter, because before the Senate Armed Services Committee earlier this week, you talked about some of the costs of the sequester that will have a real long-term impact in terms of shipbuilding, for example. So can you speak to some of those costs?
Yes, unit costs will go up in every program affected by sequester. And we can provide you those numbers, whether it's the Joint Strike Fighter, whether it's the DDG-51. So at the very moment that we're trying to be parsimonious with the taxpayers' dollar, that's what this whole hearing is about, we're wasting it by forcing our industry partners to behave in an economically inefficient way. And that's very frustrating to me, but it's a real, real, real phenomenon.
That's the Acting Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, talking to the Senate Appropriations Committee this afternoon. You can find out more about the hearing and find all of our sequestration coverage at federalnewsradio.com.